Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for today's training camp notes for August 2nd, 2024. Another very hot day today. The sun, brutal, blistering. No pads today. The Ravens had padded practices a couple days in a row, and this was one where they really tried to take it easy. I'd say a lot of half-speed stuff. Not a lot of defensive effort on this day. A few defensive plays were made despite that. But it's a day where basically the offense is allowed to throw the ball around kind of at will. And they were looking at more things like learning the dance steps to plays and whatnot, as they do in those walkthrough practices. This was faster than a walkthrough, but it's certainly a lot slower and more brother-in-law-y than a typical practice. His military and first responder day out there. I talked to a nice Vietnam vet for a while. I appreciate him taking the time to tell me about his time in Vietnam, and appreciate your service, as I do all you military folks, and particularly those who support the show, of course, and listen to it. So appreciate you very much out there. For those of you who don't know, I spent a lot of my career as an actuary, and my job was always in pricing, and I would develop products for use in the military market. So understanding military occupational risk was always a big part of my job, and I had a liaison role with a group that sold products to the military. So I really enjoyed that part of my job as much as anything else. One field of 11 on 11 today. Absent a few players, Keaton Mitchell and TJ Tampa are still both on PUP. Adisa Isaac still on NFI. I'm not going to mention Malik Ham now that he's moved to IR anymore, but that'll be the last time. Trayvon Mullen still working with some sort of a shoulder injury. He fell on it, and I think they called it a subluxation, they said, but apparently it's going to cost him a couple of weeks, which means he's going to miss some valuable preseason game time, and that's unfortunate. Tyante Hardy is still out. It's now been several days. They did punt drills today. Unfortunate to be missing him. And then the big new one was Tyler Linderbaum. Harbaugh talked about it at the podium today when he got there. He identified the problem as a soft tissue injury, and then he kind of patted his thigh, indicating it might be a hamstring. He thought he'd keep him out today and also rest him tomorrow. And that's the update we got on that. There were a good amount of players who returned over the last couple of days that I mentioned for, with the last practice, primarily players like Evandy Rigby, who'd been out for a while, Bateman, and Tez Walker had a day off in there. So several days, several players that already returned. Ben Cleveland was a return today after missing about half of yesterday's practice after hitting his head. So got evaluated apparently for a concussion. They didn't find anything. You know, like say that about head injuries, and they didn't find anything, but they did not find a concussion. Let's put it that way. Lots of half speed drills, as I mentioned today, light practice, and there was no real pass rush going on at any time during the day. That doesn't mean they're not trying to get in position and kind of allow the offensive linemen to work on some of their hand moves or possibly work on some secondary moves themselves, but they're not trying to blow by those guys and get to the quarterback. And so the quarterback had a lot of time to throw today. It's almost like an extended period of 7-on-7 played in 11-on-11 form. And we'll talk about that. When I arrived there, they were in the middle of full punt drills. So Stout was punting. Wallace was in there returning kicks. I mentioned Hardy wasn't there. So they had, you know, a couple other guys doing that. Wallace is not a surprise at all since he returned against the Rams last year, but I'll keep the other names secret. Looked to me like the primary objective was trying to gauge how the gunners were beating their jammers down the field. So full punt drill, they certainly were lining up to try and, you know, set up for their blocks correctly so that they're getting that done at the line of scrimmage. But then on the play on the outside, they're really trying to see, are the gunners doing the right things to get off those blocks from the jammers and get down the field in coverage? So every full punt drill, of course, is a mix of both the punt coverage unit and try to evaluate them and the return team as well and try to see if they're doing the right things to set up their blocks at the right point and deal with the individual cases like both gunners and the inside gunner or the personal protector and try to take care of him. All right, so now we had a lot of 11-11 notes, very offensive, heavy practice. The offense, you know, got big advantages today, and I'm going to go through this in terms of what happened. Lamar Jackson completed a 20-yard pass by the right sideline to Flowers, who beat Mollett. Jackson completed a 15-yard pass between the numbers and the left hash to Andrews. He called a timeout pre-play. That usually means there's a miscommunication. He either said the play wrong or didn't understand it, but whatever the case, he called a timeout before the play. It's not a good sign when that happens. It's worth noting if you see it, Lamar may not have the play completely understood, or the offense may have otherwise lined up incorrectly and they were forced into a timeout call because they weren't prepared to run that play. So whatever the reason, it's not generally a good thing for the offense. Deion Jennings was late covering a screen pass from Jackson. It went to Henry, and it looked like it would have gone for a big yak play. Also, just kind of reminded us of how much it'll be fun to see Derrick Henry running in space and having a chance against some smaller men, which is almost anybody who's not a defensive lineman in terms of running them over. So it was a nice pass there, and Deion Jennings is late getting over on that play. Johnson now threw a 10-yard pass in the middle of the field between the hashes. It was tipped up by Hamilton, intercepted by Roquan Smith. Just the start of a big day for Hamilton, by the way. And it's nice to see him make a couple plays because I feel like Kyle Hamilton has been one of the leaders, along with Roquan, of trying to hold up and not hit people during these non-contact practices. He's one of the defenders who's very mature about it. Whereas if you go to Trenton Simpson, he's just the opposite. He's very physical, hits way too much, for a non-contact practice. And there are some other players who seem to be playing harder. Oway has had to have a talking to about playing too hard. Travis Jones he's just a monster on the inside in terms of his ability to do whatever he wants to his opponent. So you have to get your players playing on the same level of physicality, matching the level of physicality. If that doesn't happen, then that's when practices can tend to really get chippy. And you have a kind of, oftentimes it starts with them trying to outdo each other in terms of physicality. And then somebody that goes too far and somebody gets really pissed off about it and a punch gets thrown. Or oftentimes with helmeted linemen, it's a slap that gets thrown. But it ends up being not much of a fight usually. We haven't really seen a brawl now in several years for the Ravens. They had a knockdown dragout ball about 12 years ago or so now at this point, where just they're all over the field doing it. And they had one against the Commanders in a us versus them brawl, at least last year, but they've otherwise been pretty good about avoiding internal fighting on the Ravens. Okay. Continuing on, Humphrey had a near interception of a pass intended for Tez Walker. It was about 15 yards up the right sideline. He was in position as a receiver. He was leading the way on Walker. Probably a case, again, I didn't really see the beginning of that route, that Humphrey may have been guiding Walker to the sideline. Walker maybe didn't want to play through the contact. It ended up being Humphrey is just over the top of him. He's essentially stacked him instead of the other way around. The ball was overthrown by about 5 yards, but Humphrey didn't lay out for it either, which is the right choice to make in a practice like this. But he's had an amazing camp in terms of his interceptions, his positioning, the passes defense he's had, and it would have been nice to see him get another. Brandon Stevens had a PD over the top. Now, Brandon Stevens had an up and down camp. I wouldn't say he's been great by any stretch. I don't think he's had a bunch of interceptions. I can't remember even one. But this one was a PD over the top versus Keith Kirkwood. It was about 15 yards between the numbers and the left hash. So in a nice place, and also a nice non-physical. It would have been fine to do exactly what he did in a game. And, it might have touched the opponent, Kirkwood slightly, but he basically came over the top and exactly that swim move you'd like to see for a PD mate. Kyle Hamilton, now we mentioned he's had a big day. He had an interception on an undercut in coverage of Owen Wright by the left sideline. This came from Emory Jones, and it looked like he kind of telegraphed the throw. He kind of stared him down, and you don't need to stare down your outlet receiver. Your outlet receiver is your last guy. You know, make your other reads, then you find your outlet receiver, immediately throw the ball. He kind of stared him down like he was waiting for him to get to the sideline or something. I'm not exactly sure what he was doing. And then he threw the ball, and Hamilton just easily undercut it for what would have been a pick six down that right sideline. But he obviously wasn't running it out. Let's see. Jones on the next play went to an outlet to Ali. So Rasheen Ali is in the game now, where Hamilton was in position for a quick tackle. So there are rules if you're in 7-on-7, and this is almost like an extended 7-on-7 where you're not allowed to come downhill on the player too early, because obviously the defense knows that a guy's an outlet and that it's a pass play, and they shouldn't know that. And so they need to maintain their position. But in this case, threw the ball. Hamilton was in position, would have been a tackle for loss on the play. And just Jones not disguising what was happening very well, or not having an alternative that he could fall back on. Then the next pass, though, Jones completed a nice wheel route to Ali over the trailing Malik Harrison. So Malik Harrison was, I wouldn't say he was going full speed, but on the other hand, he was probably matching the speed of the offensive player to a good degree. And the ball was just thrown over his head, and Ali dropped right in the bucket where Ali caught it. So nice play there. A little later, we had a six-play sequence from Lamar Jackson I want to go over, because it included 5 touchdowns. Now, it's true there were a lot of advantages for the offense in terms of how they were running practice today, and yet I thought this was an exceptional sequence from Jackson, one of the best we've seen in camp so far. He threw a 20-yard touchdown left corner of the end zone to Andrews, who had beaten Board. That was kind of an over-the-top, drop it in the bucket throw. That was nice. Then he hit Cunningham on a 15-yard touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. Nice Nice touch pass there. He had a screen left complete to Henry, so that wasn't one of the real positive plays or one of the real exceptional plays. It was complete, though. And then he had a 10-yard touchdown to the crossing Justice Hill. It was between the numbers and the right hash in that case. But, obviously the TD streak keeps going. And then a 5-yard touchdown to Ricard. Kind of an outlet play to Ricard. Maybe kind of an extended block and release play. I didn't really see what Ricard did at the line of scrimmage before he made that catch, but he was there to make the catch and easily walked in. And then a touchdown to Flowers crossing between the numbers and the right hash. So very nice six-play sequence out of Jackson there, who didn't have an interception on the day. He's looking just fine right now. Looks like he's ready to go at this point. Dayton Wade bobbled and dropped a pass behind him from Johnson. Kadir Ishmael made a leaping 15-yard grab between the numbers and the right hash while covered by Hamilton. The only times really Hamilton wasn't in the exact right place. But even this case, it's a case where Ishmael is a very tall player, one of the few players who has a real good chance to win a contested catch versus a player like Hamilton. And he did a good job of catching the ball away from his ball, up high, I should say outside of his frame. See, Emory Jones threw a late outlet to Rashan Ali, minus 5 yards on the right sideline. Hamilton was camped out for a quick tackle again. So Hamilton's all over the field at this point. Johnson threw incomplete out of bounds for Wade in the back of the end zone. That play was really covered very well underneath by Eddie Jackson. Ball probably shouldn't have been thrown, but if you are going to throw it, you want to overthrow it. And so not a terrible result there, and definitely one where Jackson had the coverage taken care of. Mollett was flagged for a DPI versus Cunningham. We haven't seen too many defensive flags on the defensive backfield in this camp, maybe about 4 to 5, I would say, but nothing like the number of false starts we're seeing and some of the other flags. So that was a nice one. They went to the ball control. I'm sorry, I did say that. Ball control drills were next. They had kind of a playground-ish feel to them. So they're basically running a 6 or 8 minute offense. They want to try and run out the clock and do a lot of the run drill type stuff, mix in a few passes as needed to convert first downs. But that's basically what it seemed like they were trying to do. And they had a little playground-ish feel to what they were doing. So they had specifically a designed run for Lamar that basically came off of a mesh fake. So I don't remember who the running back was, whether it was Henry or one of the others, but it was a mesh fake. And then Jackson took off to the right. And then he saw Bateman there and he whipped the ball across his body underhanded, something he would never do. And obviously, you know, they're just kind of playing around at this point. And it was, complete for it.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a short gain, nothing that would be worth the risk in that particular case. Two plays prior to that, Lamar dropped down to the side on a pass to Bateman, 10 yards between the numbers and the left hash with Marcus Williams a little off. Very quick release there by Lamar, and something we don't see too often, but he does occasionally come down the side without a good reason. This was one of those times. He was trying to avoid the arms of an on-rushing pass rusher by going to the side. This was just he decided he was going to throw it to the side. And so kind of a playground-ish feel to this entire session there. That ended, and practice, in fact, ended with a couple of end-of-game plays. One of them appeared to be a Hail Mary, the other some sort of lateral play where there were at least a couple of exchanges of the football. It's nice to see they practice those things. You don't really get a sense of it. One of the things they don't really practice very much, at least I don't see it practiced, is the mesh point itself. And that's why we heard from Monken a couple of days ago saying that he doesn't really know what to expect from Derrick Henry in terms of facility with the mesh point, which is very important for Lamar Jackson in terms of making the most of him as a runner and making the most out of the threat of both of them, frankly. So even Gus Edwards, who came up at the same time Jackson did, basically they started the same football game together against the Cincinnati Bengals when the two of them really led the Ravens to the victory that day. And they had a lot of trouble with the mesh point early on. And very fortunately, with the acquisition of Mark Ingram, they got a guy the next year who was very facile with it, but there were others that they've had in between, including some veteran backs who really haven't been that good. So that's something I'll be looking for in this first game if Lamar does it at all. Even if it's not Lamar, if it's somebody else like maybe Johnson, I'd like to see it done well. And it'd be something I'm looking for. We'll see a lot of Ali. We'll see a lot of Wright. We'll see a little bit of Hill probably. And Probably very little of Derrick Henry, by the way. Maybe 1 to 2 runs would be all I'd expect out of Derrick Henry in this first preseason game. But we should get a sense of what are they doing in terms of the mesh point, and is it working, or is it something they need to work on? A little bit of 7-on-7 notes I have for you. You may remember on Thursday, Sanusi Kane had a big day with a interception and a PD. He was late getting over on a TD thrown by Johnson to Isaiah Robinson today. Isaiah Washington, I should say. And then on the very next play, Isaiah Washington caught a touchdown pass from Johnson where Darryl Worley was very physical at the catch point. He came over kind of hard to dislodge that football, kind of hacking at the arm of the receiver, I would talk of it as. And, you know, it's football. It's the way the game is certainly played. It's a little more contact than I would have expected for this sort of a very light practice. But Washington held onto the ball anyway for a touchdown. So that's the way it rolled out anyway. And then Johnson had a third TD in 4 plays when he hit Ishmael in the end zone after a long wait and a roll right. So it's a 7-on-7 drill. If you wait in the pocket for 6 seconds, and it might have been that long, then you roll right and it ends up being 9.5 seconds before you release the football. Somebody probably should have blown the whistle, but they wanted to see if the defenders could hang on for a little longer, maybe, or see what the offense would do with the opportunity. And he ended up finding Ishmael in the end zone for a touchdown. You've heard me talk about laps a lot in camp so far. No false starts and resulting laps today. Now, this is not completely a surprise because the pass rush was holding up today. The offensive line knows that, so they don't have to be that quick to pass set on a day like this, which limits the number of false starts. I would say the same thing kind of goes for run blocking because they're really not there. It's a lot of brother-in-law run blocking, very positional. It's important for the guys who are pulling to identify their target, to find him, to stand him up, but they're not really trying to pancake him the way they might in another practice. So it's not surprising, I guess, that we wouldn't have false starts on a day like this. So let's move it on to the interviews. John Harbaugh was first at the podium. He had a few things to say, and as always, listen to the interviews. Sometimes I paraphrase things. I'm trying to get the gist of it, and my angle is more to kind of tell you what I'm not hearing or what I think is there between the lines. But I really suggest people do listen for themselves to these interviews because the Ravens post them out on the site. They're available, and they're generally good material. And you probably want to listen to the whole thing and not just a little clip here or there that you get on Twitter that the Ravens have already scrubbed. So take a listen to the whole thing. But he praised JAD's play, said he's playing like a starter, envisioned a spot for him this year. So we'll see how that goes. He talked about Ardarius Washington and his play at safety and slot corner. So just to give you a little bit on this, both positions are very crowded right now, which is a problem for Ardarius. Even the flexibility to play both doesn't play so well given the quality of players ahead of him. So they have, and Harbaugh talked briefly about Eddie Jackson. They couldn't really have foreseen getting him. And that obviously was, you know, the implication was that obviously was going to take playing time away from Ardarius. Understood. He's still playing a lot of safety right now, so we'll see how that plays out in the first preseason game in particular, where it'd be nice to see him more at slot corner, getting some reps there. And another guy who's kind of maybe is a step further back on the depth chart right now is Darryl Worley, who his position would be that split field safety. And so I'm going to be very interested to see the order of deployment at that position in that first preseason game. But it wouldn't shock me if Ardarius and Darryl Worley were out there as the strong safety and free safety respectively at the end of the preseason game, or for a lot of the second half even. Now they've got other guys. They want to look at Bo Braid and Sanusi Kane, and those guys are going to get some playing time too. Darryl Worley can win you a football game alone by being way more experienced than the other players on the field. And he did so in the first preseason game last year. Ardarius Washington, I'm sure they want to see what he's got, and I'm sure they want to try and get him some slot time as well. Obviously, with Hamilton playing a lot of slot and getting a lot of slot reps, and Arthur Maulette having a good camp, he's had some trouble getting some slot time as well. So these preseason games, very important, Ardarius Washington. I don't think his he has a tremendous risk to not make the team, but he has a risk to not make the team. And he's probably competing with a player like Worley. I do think the Ravens would like to keep five safeties. So it may actually be that Kane, Braid, and Washington are competing for one spot. Worley has certain other technical advantages for the Ravens. First of all, he's played well in that split safety role. But more than that, he's a guy who they can cut and return in time for week one by handshake agreement and get another player on the roster put on IR after the 53 is set, which means they can return from it at some point during the season. The Ravens like to have, 2 to 4 players, I'll say, who are there as potential midseason replacements. And I think they'll do that again this year. They've got some positions where it really makes sense, including the offensive line and perhaps outside linebacker as well. So a couple good options there. Okay. He praised Travis Jones, talked about expecting a breakout from him. Nothing surprising there. It's primarily coach speak. But I will say Travis Jones was on. He is an incredibly impressive human being at always in terms of what he's doing physically on the inside, because he can basically ragdoll just about anybody that lines up opposite him, including offensive linemen. Which I guess would be all that really lines up opposite him. But right now, his arms look like tree trunks after his offseason workout. I mean, he's an enormous physical presence right now. He said he worked out with Broderick Washington this offseason and they got a lot of time together. Travis is a little nervous, I would say, at the podium. You listen to his interview if you like, but he's a guy who does not seem to have a lot of comfort. He is fairly terse in terms of his answers. I often talk about Voss that way. Voss is a very terse guy, but in Voss's case, it's not because he's nervous in front of a microphone. And I think that might be the case with Travis Jones. I'm sure it's the kind of thing. I don't expect him to be Marlon Humphrey someday, but I think the more success he has in this league, the more he's going to be able to face the microphone and feel good about it and feel easy. Michael Orr had a lot of difficulty as well in terms of answering questions in a way. But you can tell as soon as Travis Jones gets up there, he's basically uncomfortable in the spot and would like it to be over. I is how I would describe it. One other thing that Harbaugh said I want to go back to is that he said the vet days were being handled more by reps this year than full days off. So one of the reporters, and I think it might have been Luke Jones, said we hadn't seen any vet days yet. Are they coming? And Harbaugh basically said, we have some guys, we're trying to hold them out. And Kyle Van Noy is a guy they've given less reps to, for example, because he's an older guy. And they have a few older players on the team, but the team's, it's a pretty young team. Brent Urban is older. So he's another guy who could have been given some fewer reps, but he kind of naturally doesn't get a ton of reps. So it's, I'd say the group as a whole seems to be doing pretty well in terms of their time. Guys on the offensive line now who might have gotten vet days include Ronnie Stanley. And that's been pretty good, I think, that Ronnie Stanley has not required much time off from his duties as the number one left tackle. So right there, he's playing a fair number of reps. He's playing through the sun, and he's playing, I think, quite well at camp this year. So hopefully we'll see a big year from him. Brent Urban was the other guy that was interviewed. Actually, I felt bad about it because there are only about 5 questions for Brent Urban. Very interesting player and has a lot to say, understands the game at a high level. And the one thing that he really had to say, which is of terrific interest to me, was he talked about the privilege it is to play in the league with regard to being a survivor and a member of the handshake crew now for, this will be his third year, I believe, on the handshake crew, where he's likely to be cut when it comes down to the end, the 53 being set and then returned by week one to be one of the 5 off defensive linemen that the Ravens will play for this year or plan to play if things go well. And he just, you know, seems to be enjoying it. Called Baltimore his home for football. He actually lives down in the Austin area now with his wife and during the off season. But I think, he's very comfortable with the organization. And I get the impression with the friendships he's got on the team with, Pierce and Jones and players like that. I think Jones and Washington are close and Pierce and Urban are close on the defensive line, that he's likely to stay in Baltimore for the rest of his career, however long that is, whether that's this year only or whether he's, he plays well, feels well, decides, hey, let's give 2025 a shot. But, he's now an 11-year veteran of this league. And you think about it, Marshall Yanda played 12 years. Jonathan Ogden played 12 years to 2007. Yes. So it's very unusual for a player to even a great player to play that many years. And Urban has really been able to continually provide value, which makes it that much more difficult for a guy with a more specific role to stay around. And another thing I'll just say in Urban's case is that Urban's position has kind of been going away in terms of the reliance on it. So he's primarily a five tech. He's in there. He denies space extremely well in the run game. He can play an uncovered end position if you need him for that. But he's basically a five tech, and he can play a little bit of three for you if you want that, and just want to rotate some linemen. Basically, he's a five tech. And the five tech position, just base defense, you don't play that much anymore. So, his position in a lot of ways is going away. He has the lowest percentage of snaps of the Ravens' five defensive linemen, who averaged 44%. I think he was 26-27% this last year. So, he has a role, but his role is just not huge anymore. And he still put himself in the position to be valuable enough to the Baltimore Ravens that they feel like they need to keep him year after year. And that's a real testament, I think, to what he does for the team and how valuable he is, both against the run and he can do a little bit for you in terms of early down pass rush and occasionally batting a pass as well, but very disciplined and team-oriented player in terms of he denies space to allow other people to make plays more than he makes those plays himself. So Brent Urban's never been a big tackler, but he has been a guy who's facilitated a lot of tackles by other penetrating players because he's forcing running backs to go somewhere they don't want to go. All right. Well, that's it for the camp notes for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.